What took you so long, Cameron?
I was going to the bathroom.
Okay.
Yeah.
There's our cold open.
Yeah, thanks. Oh, I didn't even get
Gross.
My water because you just rushed me.
Okay, go get your water then.
All aboard.
Hey.
Huh?
Oops. What?
Welcome, everybody, to episode 17 of Where Streams Come True, the show where we show, my goodness, I'm already there, the show where we suffer through the entire good and bad of Disney Plus. Oh my gosh, there's so much bad. I am your host, Collins, and joining me today are my guests, previously returning, Cameron and Nephi, and a new guest today, we have Rachel.
Hello.
I don't know what side you will be on when this gets edited, but you're over there for now.
We'll figure it out in post.
But introduce yourself. Who are you and what do you do at studio?
My name is Rachel, and I am the live event manager. I've been on the Wildcast before, but this is my first time on streams.
Yeah. It must be fun being the live event manager right now.
Right, because live events exist.
You're going to probably have, like, the easiest job ever.
Right?
Dude, yeah, like, I thought my job was easy, but now my job is the only job, I kind of.
Yeah.
One of the three jobs where we can actually do things. So this week we watched My Dog the Thief, the 1969 film released as two episodes of the Magical World of Disney TV show by director Robert Stevenson. That is why it keeps fading to commercials.
I was wondering why there were commercial breaks in a movie.
Yeah, it's because
also
it's actually,
whenever I looked it up, there was like a part one
and part two. Yeah.
Yeah. I was like, what's going on here?
It aired on 2 weeks of it's an anthology show. Walt Disney did a bunch of those, like the Disneyland show and the This Was Magical World of Disney. I am starting to get a migraine. This is going to be a fun episode. I took some drugs beforehand. Let's hope that they kick in.
Is it the good stuff?
A traffic reporter for a local radio station gets a ratings boost when a St. Bernard stows away on his helicopter, but the furry kleptomaniac gets them both in deep trouble when he casually lifts a $1 million necklace from a team of professional jewel thieves. This program is presented as originally created. It may contain outdated cultural depictions. We'll talk about that later. I didn't catch any glaring ones, but...
I didn't
nothing,
catch any
nothing
at all.
Big.
Nothing big. Just like... I don't know. There were like general 60s stereotypes, but like.
Yeah, that was pretty much it.
I think I would say that this has a similar fault to the Crimson Wing in that the cultural depictions fault was the lack of cultural depictions because this movie had only white people in it. I'd have to watch it again to pay attention, but I believe there were only white people in this movie.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
So there's that. So we'll start with our initial thoughts. Have you seen this movie before? I don't know why you would ask that for this one. And what was your experience watching it for the first time? We'll start with our new guest, Rachel.
Just your answer is nobody has ever seen this movie before, ever. and I like, it wasn't bad. It was okay, but it was kind of not boring, but like weirdly cliche in a bizarre way. Mm-hmm. Where it's like, of course the dog steals the yarn from the neighbor or whatever. It's in the same category as Air Bud in my brain.
Well, oh, yeah. This came out before Air Bud, so does that mean it's not cliche because it's...
The 60s had their own wave of weird animal movies, but they didn't talk, where there's like this and Shaggy Dog and That Darn Cat and the sequel to Shaggy Dog. And I say by extension, Absent-Minded Professor and Son of Flubber. Cameron, how about you go next? You were on a roll there.
When? I don't remember ever being on a roll.
You were on a bit of a, you were on more of a roll than the rest of us.
Okay. I don't know. I've never seen this movie before. This movie is longer than it. It feels longer than it really is, but it's funnier than I thought it would be.
Okay.
Yeah, there were some moments where I laughed and I was like, what, did I just really laugh at this movie?
Same. I think there were about two moments, maybe three, where I laughed and I was like, wait, I just laughed at this.
Yeah.
Nephi, what are your initial thoughts?
I thought it was okay. I thought it was a fun little movie for 1969. I mean, I thought it was so funny how the intro was like, I don't know, so not. The
intro was so long.
It was so sick.
Oh my gosh, that intro.
It was a whole music video.
Yeah, it was.
And it wasn't even credits. Like, usually they would do credits over that
stuff. I saw a review that said that it opens with a short film, basically. Yeah.
Good example of not, of like putting all your exposition right in the beginning instead of like putting it out in little bits throughout the movie. They're just like, nope, there's exposition.
Look, this dog steals stuff. Mm-hmm. What more do we need to say?
We've got an animal that's got a gimmick. St. Bernards were very popular for a hot second there. Got Cujo.
Yeah, they didn't do pretty good.
Because they're good boys.
I didn't know Cujo was a St. Bernard.
Is Cujo a St. Bernard?
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
I thought he was a different type of dog.
Go ahead and look up what kind of dog Cujo is. Anyway, my initial thoughts. I've seen a lot of these. I'd call them shovelware movies in the sense of, like, if you remember the Nintendo Wii, how just anyone and everyone thought they could make a video game and put it on that stupid console. It's like that, but the 60s with Disney. Like, I've seen every single Herbie movie. I've seen Blackbeard's Ghost. I've seen all of those crappy 60s movies. Or
to say, hey, Black Death Ghost is a good movie, though.
Okay.
I think it's a good movie.
It's fine. This is like F tier 60s Disney. It was released as two parts of a TV show, so I guess in that light, it's not that bad. But then again, like, Magical World of Disney also had Absent Minded Professor. Actually, I know, I don't like that movie either. I like Son of Flubber, the sequel, but I don't like the first one. I just don't like the vibe of any of these movies. And you've got all these character actors, I mean, who play like the same type of characters, like these two, and like the boss, he plays that character a lot, and the two goons play like those. Let's move on. Before we get into the full review, today we have a cross promotion to read off with the My Disney Brain podcast. Not an ad, just two podcasts helping each other get views. The My Disney Brain podcast is a wonderful and exciting way to stay in touch with all things Disney, from vacation trip planning to park and construction updates, movies, news, and so much more. My Disney Brain provides a plethora of information on vacation planning, specifically for Walt Disney World in Orlando, Florida. Join us each week as we launch new podcasts, new blog posts, daily Instagram and Facebook posts that keep magic alive in each of us until we can get the theme parks again. Make sure you follow us on social media and subscribe to our podcast and blog. We love Disney and you'll love us. Thanks for listening. We'll see you soon. I've listened to the most recent episode of their podcast before doing the cross promotion, and I've only been to Disney World once, and the most recent episode was an interview with a Disney travel agent, and I found it very interesting and just fun to listen to in general. So if you listen to this podcast and you like Disney, go ahead and check them out. And if you are coming from their podcast to ours, because I believe their next episode comes out before us, welcome. And I'm sorry if you're disappointed by this being the first movie that we're talking about for you. You can go listen to the backlog or just movies that you've seen or whatever. They're all pretty much the same in quality, which I hope is good. We got one, this is a bit of a side tangent, but we have one-star review on the podcast, but no review written with it, just a rating. So, I mean, if you're going to give us a one-star review, please tell us why. So we can make our show better. And you don't need to tell us why if you give us a five-star. I can understand.
Cujo is a St. Bernard.
Okay, thank you, Cameron. I'm glad that you were able to figure that out. Gosh, what a trip. I debated for a second putting a Cujo background for my Zoom background. kind of like how I did the cryptid flamingo for that episode. But I think just like this nonsense is better. It's like I'm Cujo. And I'm sitting between these two.
So, what was the dog's name in that movie? I watched it yesterday Barabbas. And I already forgot.
Barabbas. Named
I kept
after
thinking
the
Barnabas.
I remember it because the whole song was like, Barabbas.
Yeah, I remember, like, I watched this with my dad.
The dog that steals or whatever.
It was a new experience. And he turned to me, he's like, Barabbas? And like, yeah, like the thief in the Bible, which I mean, like, I guess he's a thief. He's also, like, a serial killer, but that, whatever.
This dog also kills people off screen.
Yeah.
I mean, he does pull a gun on someone at one point, but we'll talk about that when we get to it. So this is a full review. I made a lot of edits to it, but the original summary comes from dvdizzy.com. So thanks to them for being the only person to write a review of this, because I am not typing out the plot. I do not have time for that or the patience.
This movie doesn't exist anywhere other than Disney Plus.
No, you can't even stream it on Amazon. You have to buy it as a DVD or VHS Amazon.
I had to give Cameron my login for Disney Plus so he could watch it, because he's been able to get through not using.
I had to steal my dad's login.
Not using the premise of the show to watch things, but that's fine. He's got it now. So. Yeah. The film opens with a Barabbas, the enormous St. Bernard, I guess regular size St. Bernard, they're all enormous, who is introduced in the opening credits to the tune of That Dog Barabbas, penned by Terry Gilkison, who earlier earned an Oscar nomination for The Bare Necessities from Jungle Book, which I feel like is a step down, writing Bare Necessities and then writing That Dog Barabbas for this. Whatever. His opening montage establishes a backstory for the chief canine character and filmed without any cast member who shows up later on. The gist of it is that Barabbas, my gosh, I almost said Barbossa, is a kleptomaniac. He has an impulse to steal things, from sandwiches to hole-bound golf balls. This personality trait explains the movie's title. I guess. The dog's name, taken from the biblical thief set free instead of Christ. I don't know who that makes Christ in this movie. just one of the other dogs in the kennel.
That little dog at the beginning. Yeah, that little dog that got put in the back of the truck and then Barabbas escaped.
Oh my gosh!
That's Jesus.
Yeah, because he escapes when another dog is put in.
Well, that sure was a mystery we didn't know needed solving.
So, I'll see if I can find a screen cap of that dog. If I can't, then that doesn't matter. Yeah, but I guess that dog is the movie's Jesus.
Move on and never see him again.
Which I guess might mean that he gets put into a PETA shelter and then immediately euthanized.
Yeah.
There goes our one listener who likes PETA. Anyway, let's see. And the fact that he is adopted and returned 8 times. Running off the dog catcher, Barabbas winds up in the airport, where the character Jack takes off on his helicopter, always at the last minute, for his daily reports. Any other thoughts just about the opening before Jack is introduced?
Besides it was too long.
Mm-hmm.
It was like the monkey scene from 2001 A Space Odyssey. Like, you could have cut half of that out. At least.
Yes. I think
it was necessary. We needed to know.
We needed to see the Jesus dog.
We needed to see the Jesus dog. That, I mean, there's the description of the podcast, is the one with the Jesus dog. So he steals a sandwich from a guy, and he runs on the pavement, and he steals a golf ball. Which, I mean, like, all dogs steal food, I feel like, but like this dog has a specific, he just likes stealing things and like causing pain to people.
So it's an evil dog. It's an
evil dog. And there's like the angry mob that shows up without any voice dialogue, just minding, yelling at the guy, and the cop's like, you gotta get rid of that dog. And so he sends him to the shelter, and then he's immediately able to be adopted again later. Which, I mean, what do you do with a dog like this at that point? Is there like a dog prison? Where it's like, this dog
is... He sets the pound.
It's too dangerous to be adopted. Like in Lady and the Tramp. Oh, never mind. In Lady and the Tramp, the room where no one comes out of is just where they get adopted from. So, I guess, yeah. And whatever, St. Bernard's. This movie felt like to me at one point that they had a helicopter and a St. Bernard that they only had like 3 weeks to use. And so like, okay, we got to make a movie using a St. Bernard and a helicopter.
Right. There were so many things, elements to this movie that I would never have put together. Why was he a traffic reporter? Why was he the one flying the helicopter instead of having a co-pilot? It's probably not safe to be driving like this and then looking out. And... it's like,
'cause at the end, there's the guy, there's the new reporter. Spoilers is, I don't know what the character's name is. And then he also has a pilot. He's not wearing a helmet. He's not wearing a seatbelt. It's the 60s.
Well, that's also the 60s, yeah.
Yeah, right. Like when they're in the car, seatbelts weren't really a thing yet.
So another thing I noticed in the beginning is there's like, to put it crassly, there's no foreplay. They just kind of jump right into the dog stealing. And I was like, what's going on in this movie? Like,
hey, why beat around the bush? The title is My Dog the Thief. There is a dog. He is a thief. What more do you need to know?
We've got a song about how much of a thief he is.
It's five minutes long. Ready, go.
The song describes what's happening on screen, just in case you are either blind or not paying attention.
I was the second one.
It's like, oh, what's he doing? And the song is like, he steals a hole in one ball. Okay. Thank you, song. Thank you, song. Now I
need that song in my life.
Just have a song
narrating everything I do.
Yeah.
It's like 2 seconds after it happens.
So bad. I believe that's everything we can squeeze out of that part. The human protagonist of this outing is the seemingly milquetoast, not seemingly, extremely milquetoast, in my opinion, Jack Crandall, who could have been played by Dean Jones, Roddy McDowall, or perhaps even on the cusp of manhood, Kurt Russell, but is portrayed by Dwayne Hickman, best known as the titular teen of the fondly remembered sitcom The Many Loves of Dobie Gillis. Never heard of that.
That is probably a show.
I agree with what it said before there in the parentheses. Like, this could have been a Kurt Russell character. It could have been any of those other characters who were popular in the 60s. They just had, like, a rotating thing of guys who have the same haircut and mostly look the same. It worked, okay. I guess.
I just read my notes, and we missed something in the beginning there.
Yeah.
So... there's a point in the song where they explain why he steals stuff. And the reason is that someone once stole his bone, and so now he just steals everything.
Yeah, it says that he's like taking revenge on mankind.
So this is a dog with trauma.
It's a vengeance dog. He's an anti-hero. No, he's like, just a villain. There's nothing redeemable about this dog. When does he help? Aside from pointing a gun at someone.
But he's probably only doing that because he wanted to steal the gun.
Probably. He wanted the necklace for himself.
There's that one channel that did an edit of some of the scenes in Home Alone with blood splatter and stuff. I want to see an edit of that scene where the guy's like, oh, that could go off. And he just like, bark, like right through the guy's head. Oh no, Barabbas! Anyway, Jack is a traffic reporter for Southern California radio station KPAE, whose dull broadcasts leave listeners quickly reaching to find a different station. This is depicted in an amusing sequence early on, but Crandall's boss, station owner PJ Applegate, played by Joe Flynn in the type of role he consistently played for Disney, is seriously considering firing him if Jack can't somehow spice up his chopper reports. Not too much of a scene there. But yeah. I had a paragraph.
There is the one thing that stuck out to me is the depictions of whatever in that scene where Applegate was talking to him about, I'm going to fire you. And he was like, there's only two things in this world that I think are as dull as your report.
Oh, yeah. My one, gosh.
My wife. I was like, there it is. And then he said, two, her mother. And I was like, oh, a twofer. Hating the mother-in-law.
I can't believe I forgot that, because it was the exact same thing for me, because I was like, I don't know if there's any like outdated depiction in this. And then he says like, one, my wife. And I was like, oh, no, there it is.
My wife.
My wife. And later you get the, why are all women concerned about the future? Gosh. Yeah, like, I was actually talking, I had this thought when I was watching Antiques Roadshow, don't judge me. It was on, and the Wi-Fi was down, and it was the only interesting thing on somewhat.
It's always
was it Antiques
on,
Roadshow?
Though.
Was it Antiques Roadshow? Yeah, where someone was like, and turns out this thing is valuable. That'll show my wife. Ha, ha, ha. And I'm like, why is it such a popular dynamic even now to have a husband and wife hate each other?
Right. Like, if you hate your wife, why did you marry her?
Yeah. I know. And this is like, my wife is so dull. Then why were you attracted to, I don't get it. I don't get it. And like,
respect the women juice, ladies and gentlemen.
Exactly. Drink it every single day.
Brew my coffee with it.
Chase her with coffee so you stay awake to remember it. I don't want to go any further tangent with that. Where was I?
Yeah,
he's boring. Yeah, he's in the helicopter and he's boring. And everyone's like switching their radios off, which is fun to see some of those old radios.
Yeah.
I like the one hanging from the rear view mirror.
Yeah.
That one was cute. Like,
it doesn't attach. It's not attached to your car. It's just
a radio.
You just got to hang in there. While Jack is reporting on highway congestion, Barabbas resurfaces inside the airborne workstation. This curveball has Jack freaking out, but somehow drivers who haven't already tuned out really take to the mishap and the play-by-play that evolves from it. Even without visuals, the idea of the calm reporter being unable to outmuscle the mischievous Saint Bernard draws interest and many enthused phone calls to the station. Having saved his job, Jack reluctantly agrees to take on the dog as a pet and co-pilot as KPE is a genuine phenomenon on its hands. A thought occurred to me. I was confused real quick. When like they're like, yeah, we've had people calling into the station about this. And I was like, huh? But it occurred to me. This is calling into the station is the pre-internet comment section.
Yeah.
Where they would just call in and be like, is that a real dog? And stuff like that. And I thought that was funny. Cameron, what were you going to say?
They have some pretty crazy stuff. They showed like a little bit of some of the calls. And I remember one of them was like, the lady was on the phone and she's like, no, the dog cannot talk about their political standing or whatever.
It can't endorse a political candidate.
Yeah, that's what it was. It's like, what?
That seems like a last-minute joke in the writer's room.
Yeah.
But it can endorse a dog food brand, which...
That was a mess.
I don't really have that in the recap. I don't know when that part happens, but we can talk about that. We're like, it's like a grow food, dog food or something like that?
Grow Well, I think.
Grow Well, yeah. Where this is very 60s Disney, like having there's a sponsorship that the dog is going to sponsor a dog food brand, and like he takes a picture with him, and when he's pretending to be Barabbas up in the air, he has everybody like honk for the dog, and like everybody's honking. No, it's weird. It's weird and it's dumb, and I don't like it. He gets the barrel around his neck like you see in Nephi's picture, which I also don't get. I don't know what that's for.
They would put brandy in barrels around St. Bernard collars and then send them off to go rescue people who were trapped in snowstorms.
And then they have the dog and then they open up the barrel and get drunk.
Does the brandy help?
They used to think that because like it tastes like fire and like it warms your insides, but Mythbusters tested it and it actually makes things worse.
No, it does. Yeah. that's what the Russians did, where they would like burn down
vodka in it.
Oh, yeah. When I don't remember what it was called, like when they were being invaded and they'd like burn down their own towns and just leave a bunch of vodka there, so the soldiers would come in and occupy and then drink the vodka and then freeze to death. Because they like get drunk and feel like they're hot and they take their clothes off. I don't know how accurate that is, but I heard it once in junior high, I think.
So probably not at all accurate.
So probably not at all. Yeah. That's part of growing
up. You can never win a land war in Russia. So
that is true.
Just don't invade Russia.
Just don't.
Especially not in winter, Napoleon. Come on, man.
He tried.
They got frostbite from their buttons.
Oh my, really?
On their uniforms.
That's great. So we get introduced to the bad guys here. McClure and Foley.
His name is Foley?
Yeah. I don't know which one's there's the mustache one and there's the dumb one, who have definitely been in other Disney movies. I believe one of them was McClure was Roger C. Carmel and Foley was Mickey Shaughnessy, who was in The Boatniks. No, I've seen that. The intellectually challenged crook is a very trope of Disney movies in the 60s that I, for one, don't like. Like, if you're gonna maybe it's kind of okay when you have like some bumbling like hench people, and then like the villain is competent, or most of the villains are competent, but every single villain in this movie was incompetent, and it made them not a threat. It made there be like no stakes.
Yeah.
It kind of
felt like the dumb one was doing a Costello impression the whole time.
Was he?
It felt like that, yeah. And I was like, what are you doing, dude?
I'm trying to think of what the mustache guy was in. He's been in other stuff. Then there's the Mr. Tremaine or something like that.
The rich guy?
Yeah. I mean I could look it up. I'll pull up a cast list because there's a lot of character names in here. This is season 16, episode 2.
Good looking at Cujo.
Not Mr. Pfeiffer, not Lieutenant Burroughs. Mr. Travell. Mr. Travell, played by John Vandraleen, who was doing a European accent. It seemed like every line he said was a different part of Europe. Like there was one like sometimes he would sound Russian, sometimes he would sound German, sometimes he would sound British. I don't know what he was going for, but it was all bad. And he sends the two guys to steal a necklace from a place that is never explained, except for that it's worth $250,000.
It had like a... So whenever they talked about the necklace, they talked about like where they got it. It was like something Grove or whatever.
The Cosgrove, yeah, like, the Cosgrove necklace.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
Like, why didn't you just call it The Necklace? Like,
it feels like it's adding an
unnecessary... It's not from Cosgrove anymore.
And like, Cosgrove never shows up. And it's never...
Yeah.
Explained. I don't know.
They probably just thought it sounded cool.
The Cosgrove Necklace. Like, they could have had, like, a thing before of, like, oh, the famed Cosgrove necklace is in this place for a gala or something. But no, it's just like at someone's house. It's in a hotel, isn't it? Because like they say, like, there's the hotel when they pull up and they're listening to Jack on the radio. And he's like listening to the radio while they're heisting it. And
yeah, and they heist it.
Yeah. And they
put it into a thermos.
They put it into a thermos.
That I have that thermos.
It's a signature.
Like it's the same plaid on my thermos.
They put it into a lunch box. Hopping back and forth in time, because the timeline of this movie is difficult to parse out. As if there weren't enough gags born from this unlikely workplace scenario, the movie provides plenty more in its depiction of Jack and Barabbas outside of work. At home, the pair must deal with a landlady, Elsa Lanchester.
Oh my gosh, I love her, actually.
She's in Mary Poppins.
Yeah, and then Blackbeard's Ghost as well.
Yep. I couldn't think of what I recognized her from while I was watching the movie, but right now it hit me that she's in Mary Poppins. who has an allergic cat and a strict no dog policy. A cat that's allergic to dogs, I've never heard of that. I don't think that's real. Bring on the big suspicious cardboard box, which has a, which he claims has a quilt in it.
Yeah.
Several quilts or something like that.
It was a really like a big quilt. Old blanket that his aunt made him.
And he takes it with him everywhere he goes.
Mm-hmm.
It is also at his apartment that Jack meets his perky new neighbor, Kim, played by Mary Ann Mobley, an obvious love interest due to being the only woman in the film his age, or I guess one of the only two women in the film, period? Besides like the opening montage? I mean, she's the only named female character in the entire movie.
And it's her and the landlady.
Yeah. The landlady is like Miss Thrombey or whatever.
Oh, yeah. We totally find out the landlady's name.
Which does actually show how low of a bar the Bechdel test is.
Oh yeah. This absolutely. I keep forgetting. I want to add into the information and statistics. I want to start adding, like, does this movie pass the Bechdel test and have, like, that on the rating?
This one does.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Unless you count the dog as a man because it's technically a boy dog. But
when they first enter, they had a conversation just about the cat, and that was it.
Okay, this movie passes. Okay.
Yeah.
It also passes the sexy lamp test, which is my other favorite one. If the female character can be replaced by a sexy lamp and not change the plot at all.
Oh.
Which many movies don't pass.
Whoa.
Yeah, you're not wrong. You're not wrong. Jeez, that's
She's
depressing.
Like actually somewhat competent and like does stuff though.
Yeah.
It was surprisingly a well-rounded good female character in this movie.
She had
a backstory at all.
Yeah, she is an aspiring fashion designer.
Well, they didn't really give her any good points there, traits, I guess. Because you're like, I want to be this fashion person. And then she's like, I'm starting as a secretary. Okay.
Right.
I mean, it was still 1969.
Yeah.
So you can't win them all.
was the impression supposed to be that she is wearing the clothes she's designed herself?
I don't know. Wasn't she designing like sportswear or swimwear or something?
Oh, yeah. It was sportswear.
Summer wear?
Although, I mean, sportswear in the 60s could be a blazer and.
It's true. They had weird trends.
They sure did. Let's see. She's an obvious love interest, though Barabbas's nature ensures there will be a number of obstacles to overcome as Jack stumbles to explain stolen items instead of revealing his pet, which really only happens twice. He goes over and he steals a ball of yarn, which just trails over to his apartment and makes him look... She calls him a kook when she really should have been calling him a creep. Like, oh, is this some sort of prank? You broke into my apartment and stole something.
Yeah. And destroyed it.
Him.
I think kook was a stronger insult in the 60s, though.
Yeah. Yeah. Kim, he's a scary person if he is breaking into your apartment.
Right.
And then he like, gives her some, like, champagne in a thing and wants to make up. But then, I almost called him Cujo. No, Barabbas steals Cujo, the champagne Cujo. Bottle, drinks an entire bottle of champagne, which makes him drunk for like a quarter of the movie. And he tries to explain that, and then she hears the bark, and she immediately covers for him when the landlady comes in. Which, like, the no dogs policy does have, I'd say, the one real funny joke in the movie is finding out at the end that everybody has been hiding a dog.
Is that how that was?
Yeah.
I thought it was just every dog from around town.
Kind of. They're
kind of like busting every door.
But they're like also coming like out of the elevator and stuff. I assumed it was because everybody was hiding a dog from there. I'm not sure which is more, I think that would be more funny. That's how I interpret it, at least. Or, like, she's just been so bad at catching dogs, everybody's been hiding it from her. So that's actually where my write-up ends. So we're just going to have to feel our way through the rest of the plot.
Okay. Well, it kind of brings up one point.
Yes.
It made me so mad that he would continuously not look at Barabbas. He would, like, leave him alone continuously. And I'm like, stop leaving your dog alone. He's obviously going to go off and steal stuff.
after the first time, I would be like never letting him leave my sight ever.
Like, what are you doing?
Every time they turn around, have a full conversation, and then turn around, they're like, where did he go? I'm like, he's a Saint Bernard. How do you lose track of him? He weighs as much as me.
Huge. So during one of his outings with Barabbas, Barabbas has to go to the bathroom mid-flight, and so he lands conveniently right where the bad guys had taken a detour that he suggested on the radio. And Barabbas goes to the bathroom, and then he steals the necklace inside of the lunchbox. And the bad guys follow him and just see him going up in the helicopter, and they immediately piece together who the helicopter pilot is and assume that, oh, he orchestrated the whole thing. He knew which car we were in, and he said to get off at this exit knowing that we would, and then he swiped in and stole it from us, which is like some Baby Driver level nonsense.
He trained his dogs to steal things,
which I guess they technically did for the movie, or just trained the dog to pick things up.
That's probably what it was.
Yeah, his handler was like 2 feet away behind the camera.
Or they what's the dog version of catnip? Like, coat it in like bacon sauce or whatever. I don't know how dogs work, and like it would just pick things up. And it doesn't take the necklace with it. It just like gets distracted, puts it somewhere, and then goes back to the helicopter. The bad guys tried to steal the dog a few times. They track him down to his apartment. Yeah, and then they're like watching, and he's like, "Oh yeah, he's keeping him trained by having him spy on the neighbors." See. And then, like, they see him put something in the neck cast, and like, oh, that must be the necklace. Put it on the dog, and
it was the dog license, because that definitely looks like $1 million necklace.
My goodness,
it's a piece of paper.
Jack and Kim go on a date, on a walk through the park, and they. Oh my gosh, this scene made me want to die.
The stupid little kid.
Yeah, oh my gosh. Stupid little kid. Where they're trying to get the dog, and he's like, "I've got him," and he puts the thing around his neck, like, "Whoa, it's me! I can't run!" And then he smacks like chin first into a seesaw, which should have broken his jaw. Yeah. And the kid's like, "Hey, mister, can you do that again? My sister didn't see it." Smack that kid. Yeah. Child actor did his best.
He was like smirking the whole time, which really irked me.
Jimmy, stop! Like, stop looking at the camera, Jimmy.
My sister didn't see it. Did I do it right?
Yeah.
And then that was the funny
part. And then they look at each other like, and then they get back. And when they, another really stupid joke. They go to a diner, and they're like, "We'll take a Coke and a coffee or whatever and 15 raw hamburgers." And the guy's like, "Okay, this is, did you say 15 raw?" Yes.
15 rare hamburgers. And she was like, raw hamburgers. And you can hold the buns.
And they look at each other like, "Tee hee, this guy thinks we're crazy."
Go to a supermarket. Go to a butcher.
Yeah. And they had the stupid crap where, like, they lured Barabbas into the...
Oh, with the girl dog?
Yeah. And he's like, "We've got Mother Nature on our side." And they open up and there's a female... You know, it's a girl because it's got a bow on it.
It's got a bow on it, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And he's just like, "Oh, girl." And he hops in and then they sleep next to each other.
Wink.
Next to each other, yeah.
Oh, no, thank you. Saber
Disney, noise. I don't want to think about those implications.
I was telling my sister that this surprisingly passed the Bechdel test, and she asked if it also passed the DuVernay test, which apparently is named after director Ava DuVernay I believe I'm pronouncing that right, and is the Bechdel test for people of color. If people of color have one conversation that is not about supporting the white lead, this does not pass that because there are no people of color in the entire movie.
It's not even.
Yep, fails hard. And so they capture Brabus and they can't find him, and they've got 15 raw hamburgers that they have to find something to do with. That can't
right. Be they just shit. Never bring that up. Just leave that in your car and let it rot. It's fine.
Yeah. I wonder how much money that cost them. And
I don't even remember them leaving the diner with it.
Mm-hmm. Well, they had the two bags, which I'm assuming one had the hamburgers in it.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
yeah, they're just like paper bags, brown paper bags. And they get home and he can't find Barabbas, and he gets a call from his boss, the guy, that the CEO of Grow Fast Dog Food or whatever it's called. Yeah, it's Grow Fast because it's like GRO. Is going to be listening tomorrow, and either they'll get a sponsorship or he'll lose his job. Which, here's another thing that I wanted to talk about, is the trope of the, like, when he's like, the things I'll do to keep a crummy job, which I don't know if that's a critique of capitalism or what, but the idea of like the main character doing a lot to keep a job that they despise.
I don't even see how that's a crummy job, though. Like,
it seems like fun.
You imagine you have to get helicopter certified to do that.
He was already a pilot.
Yeah, like you're like normally there's the traffic reporter and then there's the pilot. You're getting paid for both jobs, but I guess he hates it. Is it like is it a crummy job? How hard is it? You go up once a day, you say what the traffic is, and then you're done for the day.
Mm-hmm. He works like 2 hours a day.
Yeah, that doesn't seem like that difficult of a job. Okay, whatever. Crummy job. And then he's like, what are you going to do? Well, I guess you'll find out in 3 hours. That's my thing.
Do you believe in miracles?
Does he get the ransom call before or after he goes up and pretends to be Barabbas?
I guess after, because it was he goes to the police afterwards and they're like, but we heard the dog on the radio today.
Right. So he goes up and they some of the e-voice is actually him, but the bark is absolutely an ADR dog noise.
It's just a dog.
Just ADR a dog onto him, so he's doing a really convincing job, and he does the whole thing. Everybody loves it. He makes everybody honk, and then he gets the that's right. He gets the call from the two kooks who are like, "You can't pretend that there's a dog forever, because we know, because we got him, and we're gonna kill him unless you give us the."
The necklace.
I immediately forgot what the necklace was called already.
Give us the thing. I don't know what it is, but give it to us.
I don't remember what the necklace is called, but you better give it to us. The the croissant necklace. I don't know.
That was it.
And he's like, but I don't know anything about a necklace, so don't play wise with me. And he goes to the police, and the police are like, the necklace hasn't even been stolen. You're just trying to get publicity by having your dog. We're going to arrest you for making a false report. Now get out.
This whole movie is over the span of like a day and a half.
Yeah.
It felt like 3 days.
No, because they said that, the Crossgrove necklace was stolen yesterday at the end of the movie.
Oh my gosh.
So he goes up multiple times a day. Like the morning report and the evening report or something like that?
I guess.
That's confusing. Or better explanation, they just didn't care about their timeline continuity.
That was probably it.
That's probably it. Because if he went up once a day, then it would at least be like 3 days. Which is still dumb. And then he... gets another call. That's it. He's with Kim, and he gets another call of the guy being like, "Hello, I have found the dog, and I would like to return it to you." He was like, "What's that accent?"
Oh, yeah, that was so weird.
It's like, "Yes, there was these two men. Come to this address." And he goes to the address, and the guys are there. Like, "Don't bother going inside. It's a trap. Now get in the car. We're gonna go in the helicopter, and you're gonna take us to the thing. Or like, you're gonna give us the thing." And he's like, "I don't know where the thing is." Like, "Well, you stole it from us here." Like, "Well, it's probably there." And then like, "Oh, we'll get in the helicopter." And he's got him at gunpoint in the helicopter, and
he turns on the radio. Yeah.
So they start recording, and it's like, "What is this about a gun?" Like, "Oh, I don't know." The two guys who are like doing the tapes were kind of funny. I think they were funny characters. And the CEO comes in and is like, "What are you doing recording that crap? The police called me earlier that he's going to try and do some stunt. we're going to fire him and revoke his license." Whatever. When he gets on and he starts talking to them, Jack and Kim just start laughing for no reason.
Well, so they were laughing because he was talking in the headset.
So they didn't want to hear it. So they were laughing
to cover up the noise of...
Yeah. Right, but from the perspective of the goons, it was
it
just
was
like...
It was so uncomfortable to watch.
It was so bad.
Yeah.
And then the dumb goon was like, "I'm just like, laughing at what they're laughing."
It's so bad, and I hate every second of it.
All of those inside the helicopter shots
look really
bad. Green screen.
Oh yeah. Or I guess back then it would have been just like did they have green screen, or would it just
they
would have a projection outside, so they would have like had it on a soundstage and then a screen, kind of like a very low budget, a very primitive version of what the Mandalorian uses. But it's basically the same principle, except it looks like garbage. So they do that with the driving as well, where they just have a screen behind them, rear projected.
What was weird is whenever the dog was in front of the window, there was like a weird white outline around the dog.
Yeah, so I think there was green screen.
Oh, yeah, because
there was some sort of cutting out. Yeah.
Slice the image over it. They could do that. It's a ton of work, but they could do that. And they get to the place, and there's wacky antics with Barabbas and a gopher.
And yeah, I don't know what that was about.
The rich guy showed up.
Yeah.
To this whole hold-up thing. Like, why are you implicating yourself in this?
You will give us the necklace.
Why didn't you just stay at your business and let them handle it?
Right.
Well, I guess because they're incompetent.
But now you're...
Now you know what I look like, so you can identify me.
Yeah. It's like, we'll let you go when you find the necklace. And they find the necklace. It's like, we are not going to let you go. He does one smart thing where the guy's like, "So how long do you think it's going to take us to get there?" And he's got the thing on. He's like, "Well, we are going this pace in this direction, so we will arrive at this location at this time," which slightly I was like, "I don't know why you're being so specific with that, but whatever," which helps the police find where they are, except the police do
that's
not
just
help
how helicopters are
one bit,
right? The police did nothing.
Okay. Which I mean, accurate. And they get the thing, and
is there like a police test?
Do the police do their job good?
He's got the next, like, "Now I cannot let you go, so I'm going to kill you." And then I keep almost saying Cujo. It's Barabbas. Barabbas steals the necklace and runs away. And he's like, "Miss, miss, 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 miss," with the gun. And then the Mr. Travol or whatever his name is, I don't care to look at it anymore. And then the mustache goon run after him. And then the other goon is like, "Yeah, you watch those two." And Kim is like, Barabbas, what are you doing back here? And the guy looks away. And Jack, one hit, knocks him out.
Right, that scrawny little piece of tissue just, paper.
Boom. And I watching that, and my dad was like, yeah, right. This movie was so bad at one point, my dad was just like, I need to watch something else. You can finish this later. I'm like, okay. So he couldn't make it all the way through in one sitting. And
that way they had to release it in two parts.
Yeah, he knocks him out. Yeah, probably. Does not take his gun.
Yeah.
And they just run back to the helicopter. And I will the one like high mark I will give this movie is the nuts helicopter stunts that they do during the sequence. Where yeah. It's like chasing the car and weaving in front of it and like kicking up dust. Like
whoever right, they got a really good stunt pilot.
Yeah, whoever they did do that stunt pilot was amazing. Like
that maybe was that was the reason they made this movie.
Yeah, like, hey, we got this ace stunt pilot. Like, okay, we're gonna have him in 3 minutes of the movie.
He also has this really cool dog.
She's the dog. And I mean, yeah, that was really cool. The helicopter stunts, and like I think they had some of that definitely couldn't have been like when it's kicking up the dust and it's flying in front of the car.
Well, there's like some top down shots that look a little weird.
They might have used minis for that, but there were like the stuff that was real helicopter was really impressive. Like even the when it's like when he's like wrestling with Barabbas in the air. And it's like weaving around and stuff. That's a real helicopter. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That was pretty impressive. And so like he's like kicking up dust, waiting for the police to get there. They crash. Yes, they crash.
They crash the car, not the helicopter.
They crash the car. And then Barabbas jumps one of the guys in a really weird shot where he like jumps over the camera. And a shot goes off and you're like, oh no, did he shoot Barabbas? Except no one's really doing that because it's a movie. And Barabbas is pointing a gun in his mouth at the guy. And I did have a shot of that, but it didn't fit the aspect ratio. I wish I had had that instead. And he's like, oh, looks like Barabbas has tied this all up. And he points the gun at them. He's like, now you're in trouble. And they're like, no. And then they get arrested and the weird ass epilogue where Jack is now a executive at the dog food company.
Okay, that made me so mad.
Right. He's a pilot.
And he overthrows his executive.
And the executive literally. Well, he doesn't even take the executive's job. He gets an executive job at a different company.
Oh, yeah. Really?
Yeah,
the dog food company.
Yeah, he works at the dog food company. He's the advertiser. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
And the executive gets demoted to, but the executive did nothing wrong, really.
Yeah,
like, from his perspective,
right? He just like, sucked.
He did because it's like, oh, you know, he said to not keep the tapes or whatever. Like, he was a jerk and a misogynist, right. But he's not a bad guy. Never mind. He didn't do anything to outrightly
get
demoted. Yes, but yeah. He gets demoted and he has a new helicopter pilot who is like, oh, and there's some congestion on this road. Oh, that's not that road. It's the other road. Oh, this road. Which, I mean, I think I would have more fun listening to that than I would listening to the Saint Bernard, because it would be funny listening to the traffic guy just give wrong street names and keep getting corrected. I honestly think that was kind of funny. And did Kim get a new job or something too? No, she's still a receptionist.
Starting her new job by the end of the movie.
And that's the plot of the movie. Anything else? Any other thoughts before we move on of this movie, or things that we missed?
There's also that bit in the epilogue with the dog whistle.
Oh right, where she's like, this supersonic dog whistle. This will show who has dogs, and she blows it, and then there's dogs coming out of everywhere, and they're mauling her basically, and the cat is sneezing up a storm. which I feel bad for the cat actor for that, because they had to do something to make that cat sneeze on set, and I don't want to know what it was. And he's like, oh, looks like you allow dogs now. We like that, and so does Barabbas. And she's like, oh, help me. You can keep your dog or whatever. Just help me. Because she's getting killed by dogs.
They 100% are going to get evicted from that.
Oh, absolutely. Right.
It's okay. He's an executive now.
Yeah, he can afford a
better place.
I don't want a side tangent, but I just looked over and the official Twitter account for Grover the Sesame Street Muppet just tweeted, "Love being fuzzy and blue." I don't know why that just caught my attention, but thank you, Grover.
Thank you for your input, Grover.
Thank you for your input, Grover. You do love being fuzzy and blue. Oh my goodness, that's the headspace I'm in right now. That's it. So, final thoughts. Moment of the movie. Rachel, this is your first episode, so moment of the movie, it could be your favorite part, your least favorite part, favorite joke, or whatever, just a part that you want to highlight. We'll have Cameron go first. His moments are pretty good, usually.
Oh boy. This one had... shoot.
Okay, I'll go first then. Okay. my moment of the movie, I'm gonna nab the stunt pilot doing the helicopter stuff, because I think that was the one impressive part about this movie. That's me. Now Cameron.
All right. I think there's really not very many moments in this movie that stuck out to me.
The little boy and the guy getting his face smashed against peanut butter.
I'm going to say the point when he's like driving the helicopter. Is it driving or...
Piloting.
He's piloting the helicopter, and then steering. He gets like the cord like wrapped around his neck. He's like being choked out.
I forgot about that. That's a good one. Neffy, what's your moment of the movie?
I would say not a moment in particular, but I thought the editing was pretty good when they would cut away to those good reaction shots. I thought that was pretty funny.
All right. And Rachel.
I just want to circle back around to the dog pointing the gun at the guy, because that's the most buck wild part of the whole movie. I love that bit.
Oh, and honorable mention for the Jesus dog.
Yeah, Jesus dog.
the Jesus dog who gets arrested so that Barabbas could be freed. It's so dumb! How they made, I don't know if that was intentional, but they made that allegory and they followed it all the way through.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Let's rank this hot piece of garbage.
It wasn't an awful movie. I wouldn't watch it again.
It made me not feel like watching TV for a solid day and a half.
Oof.
All right. So this is where the ranking is sitting currently. And I feel like this is going to be another low ranker, but I'm not sure where.
I want to put it at 15.
At 15? So under Mom's Got a Date with a Vampire, but above Your Friend the Rat?
Worse than Mom's Got a Date with a Vampire?
Yes. Mom's Got a Date with a Vampire was...
I laughed a lot during that.
Yeah, okay, it was more watchable. Because this like felt like it was 3 hours, even though it was like an hour long. So,
what are your thoughts, Neffy?
I would put it down towards the bottom. I'll put it at underneath number 16.
Oh, underneath Santa's Workshop. Oof.
Yeah, because I think it was better than Crimson Wing for sure.
Absolutely, better than Crimson Wing. So we've got, I might put it below, number 17 might work for me. I think I might put it above Santa's Workshop, because this one didn't have racism in it.
Yeah, we can do that.
Good point. Yeah, throw that bad boy at 16. I mean,
for lack of inclusion, did it not
have that's racism? 17.
I mean, well, that's where I want to put it, below Santa's workshop. No, sure? Oh, yeah, no. Yeah. Was... You're right. I literally just said that. My goodness. That's right. Yes, because it doesn't have the black doll just being the worst.
We're going to get demonetized because we talked about it?
Yeah, I don't know if I brought it up on this podcast or not, but the first time I uploaded the Santa's Workshop one, it demonetized it. For some reason, possibly because we talked about blackface, but like, we were certainly not pro blackface in that episode.
Yeah.
Technically the Disney Plus version did cut out that scene, but we did talk about it regardless. But it still had some offensive stereotypes in it. Either way. That whole thing. So it is currently at number 17. Maybe we'll. It seems like we have just been like stacking up the bottom.
Yeah.
The only reason some are higher on the list is because there's been that many that have been low on the list.
Well, we also have seen like two or three really good ones.
One second. I need to turn my recording sign on so I don't get interrupted.
Okay. Now there's a chair where the guy's face is. I like this picture a lot better.
Yeah.
Just the girl and the dog.
Interesting. At least she had. I don't know. I liked her better than I liked Jack.
Yeah.
That face just annoys me, whereas her face is okay. Like, every time I saw his face, I was like,
he looks smug.
I do feel like she was a bit of a pushover in this movie, where, like, this guy broke into her apartment, but then it's like, here's some champagne. She's like, ooh.
Oh, yeah.
Immediately turns around.
Okay, but he was kind of cute, though. Oh. He wasn't.
He was not, no.
He was like 5 out of 10, maybe. Like perfectly average.
That's the type they had for these movies, was the perfectly average male. Moving on to some film information statistics. This was written by William Rayner and Miles Wilder, directed by Robert Stevenson, released part one, September 21st, 1969, and part two on September 28th. Runtime, 1 hour and 17 minutes. Feels too long.
That's Crimson Wing, isn't it? Same exact time?
About the same, yeah. IMDb score of 6.1 out of 10. Rotten Tomatoes scores, no critic score, but 53% audience. And
yeah, that's closer to what I would think.
Barely passes the Bechdel test. And mailbag, it is now time to spin the wheel. This week's wheel was submitted via email by Spapples and is the Pirates of the Caribbean collection, which I am excited for. Weird note, when I was putting this wheel together, up until last week or so, they had Pirates 1 through 4 on Disney Plus. Now they have 1 through 3 and 5. So 4 is gone, but 5 is in.
They got rid of the mermaid one?
Yeah, they got rid of the mermaid one. I really wish we could have had that because
I know
I've had an ongoing argument with my mom about that movie over whether or not the mermaid kills the guy at the end.
I mean, you can just watch it on your own
because it's kind of it's kind of up into interpretation because like he's dying from a sword wound and she like takes him underwater and my mom thinks that she's drowning him but I didn't. I thought she was saving him, but it's a. Whatever, it's a whole thing.
Well, she loves him. Why would she drown him?
Do we have any volunteers to spin the wheel? Rachel, it's your first time. Would you like to spin the wheel?
Sure. How do I spin the wheel?
The wheel has been transported to your house. All you need to do is walk off screen and spin it, and be sure to yell "yeet" when you do so.
Yes, sir. Okay, I'm gonna go spin the wheel. Yeet. Okay, the wheel is spinning.
The wheel is spinning.
It's Pirates of the Caribbean Dead Man's Chest from 2006.
Yes! I'm excited. This is my
second one?
Yeah, this is the second one. And my favorite, right. Pirates of the Caribbean.
Yeah, that one's really good.
It's Dead Man's Chest. And yeah, so next week we'll be watching Pirates of the Caribbean: Dead Man's Chest. Be sure to watch along with
your
us.
Favorite death.
Oh, it's so good.
I'm going to quote this movie the entire next episode.
I can quote the entire movie. I'll be talking about the score, everything. It's the best. It's the best Pirates.
Oh, Tom Zimmer. Of course it's amazing.
Yeah.
It's so good. It's got a 10-minute long track in it that is the best piece of score ever written.
Oh, yeah. I love that song. I know which one you're talking about, and it slaps.
Oh, yeah. And... I'm not even going to bother sharing my screen because I already know which wheel we need to spin for the next one, because Pirates of the Caribbean will be episode 19, and we've already discussed that we want the Frozen wheel for episode 20 to mark the 20th.
Wait, if this is the 17th episode, wouldn't Pirates of the Caribbean be 18?
Is this episode 17? Let me just double check.
No, this is 18.
This is
episode... You said 17 in the beginning.
Well, that's because I forgot to change it on my notes.
Oh, so it is 18.
Because, yeah, 17 was Little Mermaid. So episode 18 will be Pirates. No, my gosh.
Episode
19 will be Pirates. And then we'll be spinning the Frozen wheel next time so we can have that for episode 20 to celebrate 20 episodes of a podcast that is a mistake, but I love it. and then we'll be – we've got a new wheel. I guess it's part of the mailbag. Boris via email submitted the throwbacks wheel, which I feel is going to give us something like, also note, why on earth was this in the nostalgic movies collection? What is nostalgic about My Dog the Thief? Nobody watched it. So throwback.
Yeah.
I know The Rocketeer is in throwbacks, so that's a possibility. I know someone on Twitter was saying that we should watch The Rocketeer, which I've never seen it, and I'm gonna save it for this podcast if we do watch it. So that brings us to the end of the podcast. Thank you all so much for listening. If you liked the show, please review us on iTunes or whatever podcast service you use to listen to, and share it with your friends. If you give us a 1-star review, please tell us why, but please also just don't and give us a 5-star. That works too. We'll be watching Pirates of the Caribbean: Dead Man's Chest, and we'll be spinning the Frozen wheel next time. So stay tuned for that. You can send your reviews or comments to wheredreamscometrue@gmail.com. You can also submit a wheel, such as a category or search term on Disney Plus. One time we even got the Kurt Russell wheel, which is how we ended up with Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2.
We could have many better movies.
Yes, if you send in a review, you can have it be read on the show. Or if you're brave, submit a recording on anchor.fm/wheredreamscometrue. We've never had that done, and I gather most podcasts that use Anchor haven't done that either. It's a weird feature, but like, if you're down for it, then go ahead and send it. I'll put it in the episode. And thank you to my guests for this episode, Cameron, Neffy, and Rachel. You have been a blast. I think this show works best when it's got four people. And I've got a new layout. We'll watch Cujo next time. And thank you, everybody. Stay safe. Watch Disney Plus. Bye.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Thanks, everybody. I gotta go. Yep.